There is in the Bible. It says this, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripe we're healed. Boy, that is not a verse about the peace of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is. But anyway, I wanted you to mark that verse in connection with the message this morning. I don't want to address just a little subject tonight. I don't know how far we'll get with this, but here's what I'd suggest you to do. If you're a couple or somebody like that, you want to write down, we're going to have a lot of verses tonight, okay? It's going to be more of a teaching message, a discussional message than it is just a preaching or any other kind of message. I do not believe that God the Holy Ghost will allow any preacher to be able to completely preach the doctrine of the peace of God or the doctrine of peace in the Bible. And here's why. I'm convinced that we talked about personal peace with God in the sense of salvation. Tonight we're going to talk about practical peace. I do not believe that the Holy Ghost will allow a preacher or anybody else or teacher to teach this subject in such a way as to eliminate our personal need to go home, get with God, get in His Word, and really grab hold of the peace of God for the Christian. I just don't think it's going to happen to you in church. You may get some help, but I'll tell you what, I think this is a subject where God wants you to be with Him in a very special way that nobody else can do. And this thing of peace in your life, it's something special. I think God has reserved for Himself, and you know, I'm just saying in a very special way. So no, irregardless of all the scriptures we look at tonight, I don't believe that it gets hold of a person until you've spent time with God alone, till you've went through some very difficult storms, you've gotten into your Bible, you've spent time with God, and then I think the Holy Spirit's going to reveal some things about peace that's going to be special to you. So here's the thing about it. I don't want you just tell, that's why I want you to write down these scriptures tonight. I would really encourage you to spend time in the next few weeks just saying, Lord, I want to visit with you about peace. I want a word from God for me about peace in my life. I don't want it just a general deal that Reggie preached. Lord, I need this personally. And I believe God has reserved that specialness in this subject because I'll tell you, peace is a very, very wide, deep subject in the Bible. And I know I sure can't handle it all. Did somebody have a hand of us? Somebody, yes, Bob. Bob, if we get far enough tonight, we're going to get to that verse. But I know nobody probably knows that verse any better than you do in this far as application in this church house tonight. That's, again, what I'm saying right there. It's one thing for me to get up here, preach it, teach it, talk about whatever like that. It's another thing for you to get with God in a situation of your life and God to give you that scripture and do a work in your heart that gives you that genuine peace that passeth all understanding. Now, again, this morning we talked about, preached about personal peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His shed blood. Tonight, we're moving in. Now, if I would have had my brothers, I would have preached this morning because, to be honest with you, I think our congregation, as a congregation, needs what I'm going to preach tonight more than what I preached this morning. But that's just not the way God worked it. You know, God may send that message out. God may use that in lost people's lives to get saved. I hope so. But to be honest with you, for you folks that are here tonight, that are saved and know the Lord, this message tonight is more important to you at this point in your life than the message this morning. We're going to talk about areas and there's one thing that God has done for me in the study of this in preparation that I wouldn't trade anything for now. I have got a new peace about some issues in my life through studying the scripture that's just been such a blessing to me. And it's that, like Isaiah said, peace like a river. Just so sweet, so good. So I hope it'll help us tonight. You know, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we're fixing to get into it. And Lord, to try to feed the flock. And Lord, we pray tonight for the Holy Spirit's help. I pray God tonight while I'm preaching that, Lord, every individual out here would know that you're a God of peace. And Lord, there's some great truths about peace. There's a lot of, the devil tries to pervert it, lie about it, twist it up in our minds, and to make us confused and bewildered and take our peace away from us. But Lord, tonight I pray that there'll be some of the great truths come out of your word that help folks here tonight. As they're going through the storms of life, the tribulations of life, the problems, the sorrows, the tragedies, Lord, I pray, God, that they'll get some really good out of this tonight. I pray help them. I pray, God, it'll be to the end to be your glory. For, Lord, thine is the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Boy, this world's a mess, ain't it? I mean, if you think about the world that we live in, it's a world of people are angry. There's strife everywhere. There's fighting. There's fussing. If you ain't careful, you just go through your life fighting, fussing, dealing with anger, dealing with your own anger, dealing with somebody else's anger. There's a world of pain, sorrow, disappointment, tragedies, a world of worry, fear, danger, murder, theft, stealing, just immorality. I mean, there's just, it just seemed like that sin has thrown everything you can imagine and more into this world. And it's enough, and it is enough to take your peace away from you because you're in it. And you know, you have to deal with it. This peace with God through Christ is personal, but what about practical peace? And so tonight I want to look at some things very practical about marriage, peace in your marriage, peace in our homes, peace in our families, peace in our church, peace in the workplace, peace within ourselves. And this thing is foundational, just as grace is foundational in having peace with God. And here's the foundational statement of this message. Grace is foundational to having peace practically every day of your life. You're just not going to have peace. You see, we make peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When he gave that verse a while ago, that's the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God takes grace too. Every day of my life, if I'm going to deal with all the junk and the garbage and the stuff that's thrown at me, I'm just going to have grace. And as I humble myself to get grace, then peace comes. Okay? So it's a foundational issue here tonight. It takes grace to have peace with God, and it takes more grace. It takes grace to have the peace of God. So whatever turmoil, problems, strife, problems that you may be hitting, wherever it may be, home, family, workplace, all that kind of stuff, here's the foundational truth, this whole message. It's going to take grace. You're going to have grace to have peace with the problems that come your way. And the grace is given to the humble. John Wesley was sailing on a boat from England to America or from America back. And the ship he was on hit a great storm. And John Wesley said that the crew and everybody was all concerned. They thought, sure, we're going to go down. He said there was a small group of Moravian believers. And I don't know if you've ever studied the history of these people. They were kind of a small group, but a tremendous. And he said those people were totally different. They had the peace of God while that storm was going on. They weren't worried a bit in the world. He said you could just see it in them. He said everybody else was all shook up. And when he discussed with them why later on after the storm, why they were so peaceful in the midst of that storm, they talked about this thing. They asked him, they said, well, have you ever experienced a new birth? John Wesley was a missionary, was a preacher, and was not saved at that time. He got saved as a result of the Moravian missionary's witness to him about the new birth. I mean, that's, you got to read his history. It's a tremendous thing. But now I want to give you another foundational thought. Now, please get a hold of this, because this is what the Lord dealt with me about. Cast off tonight the false idea that because you're saved and a Christian, that you should have a peaceful life. Get rid of the idea tonight that just because you're saved, and especially if you're living for the Lord and, you know, serving the Lord, that everything's going to go nice, it's going to be tranquil, and that you're not going to have any turmoil in your life. The Bible says this, yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall have suffer persecution. You're going to have problems. You're going to have persecution. The more you live for God in this world, and that persecution and that trouble is going to disturb your peace. Okay? Now, before you were saved, we were at war with God. After we're saved and have peace with God, we're at war with the world. You just shifted wars. The Bible says that you and I are fighting a good fight of faith. It says we're wrestling against principalities. That's not a picture of, oh, I'm a Christian. I get along with everybody. I have no problems. I don't take a stand for anything. I always back up, compromise, and you know, I want peace. That's not the issue at all. And we need to get a hold of the fact that because we're saved does not mean, here's what I see people getting, well, I'm saved, you know, I'm a Christian, and I've got all these problems. Yeah? Yep. Everything's going wrong. Yep. I just think tonight we all just, as a church and as a believer, just get down to brass tacks about what the Bible really teaches about this thing. Just because you're saved doesn't mean everything's going to go good. In fact, it may mean everything's going to go rough. Jesus said, rains on the just and the unjust. There are problems that are just part of human living, you know, that you, but as a Christian, you're going to do that. Now, let's look at this practical peace tonight. Let's talk about peace with yourself. It's evident to me that there are many people that are not at peace with themselves. And I want to tell you something tonight. I've got a saying on my wall, my study, that says it's a blessed storm that drives you to your knees. I don't know about you. I can handle a lot of turmoil outside. I can handle a lot of stuff going on out here. I want to tell you something I got to have. I got to have peace in here. I got to have peace in my heart. I got to have peace in my head. And that is an area of attack that Satan wants to take away from you. The Bible is very clear that one of the things that will take your peace, that to have peace within yourself tonight as a Christian, Acts 24, verse number 16 says this, that Paul said, I'll just paraphrase it. He said, listen, he said, I make sure that my conscience is clear before God and man. Let me tell you what will take your peace away from you, not having a clear conscience. We're not talking tonight about a fact that you have a disagreement or conflict with somebody. Are you listening to me? You are going to have disagreements and you're going to have conflict with people. Do not let that steal your peace from you. The fact that you are breathing and a human being in this world, you're going to have conflict. Did you know there are some people you cannot get along with? They're not going to allow anybody to get along with them. Did you know there are spouses in the world that are not going to let anybody get along with them? You just will get, there are some things you can't control, but you can deal with the peace in your own heart. Amen. And the Bible is very clear that, first of all, we need to have a clear conscience with God. If you've got sin in your life as a Christian and you're not being honest about not dealing with it, you're not going to have peace. You just will forget about it. You're not going to, there's going to be a stirring, a working of the Holy Spirit. He's going to convict you and it's going to be bothered by it. And if you have conscience is not clear with other people, you're not going to have peace. So just simply not just say this. If you want peace within yourself, make sure your conscience is clear with God. Make sure your conscience, if you've offended somebody, just humble yourself. Go to them, as the Bible said. Acknowledge what you've done wrong. Don't worry about what they say or don't say. Humble yourself. Have a right spirit. Don't say, well, I'll forgive you if you forgive me. That's junk. That won't work. Just say, God has shown me how I've been wrong about this, and I want to get this right, and I want to fix it. That may involve restitution. It may mean monetary restitution. It may mean whatever. But get it right as best you can and then leave it with the Lord. You're not going to have peace. And I'm just convinced of my heart that this is all this turmoil and all this junk going on and all these stuff people are doing is just because we just won't have an old-fashioned deal of getting our conscience clean. There's another issue, and that is design. And I will tell you, my observation, this is a big deal. In the Institute Basic Youth Conflicts Seminar, they have a whole deal about design. And it's not junk. Very, very important. If you don't accept who you are, you will not have peace in your heart. One of the things Satan does is constantly tell boys that you're not tough enough, good looking enough, skilled enough, you can't play ball well enough, the girls don't like you, and he will cause a boy to grow up rejecting the way God made him. He'll reject his looks. He'll reject his everything. I'm telling you right now, you may have to deal with, and I'm not trying to jump off the deal, but your hair don't lay down right, and it bothers you. The hair's not there, and it bothers you. Your teeth are not straight, and it bothers you. There's all kinds of things. You may feel like you're too tall, too short. You don't like the way that your body is formed. There's all kinds of stuff that the devil can torment you to death. And I'm going to tell you, this is no little thing. And particularly, young ladies, this is a huge, huge, huge issue with you. And the devil in the world knows how to play on this. And what they don't want you to have, you girls listen to me, they don't want you to be happy with how you look. They don't want you to accept how God made you. They want you to be in constant turmoil about how you look. And if you're not looking like Hollywood says you're supposed to look, then you're not, how could you be happy if you don't look like us, is basically what they're saying. And they're playing on this deal. And it's a biblical concept because the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 9, if you want to write this verse down, verse number 20, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, you know, what makest thou? You know what, you need to learn to accept yourself. If your nose is crooked, accept it. I'm just being honest with you. There's a lot, you know, there are some things you can fix. I think if you got a bad tooth, I say fix it. One day I was eating and literally this right front tooth of mine just fell out. I'd had a root canal years ago and I was eating and it just popped. Well, you know what? I went and looked in the mirror and that was really a sight. I, honest to goodness, looked like a hillbilly then. I had a tooth gone. I mean, you smile, it'll hurt. This is a bubba, you know? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I went to the dentist immediately as fast as I could and got that fixed, okay? For number one, I want to be able to bite and chew. And number two, I don't want people, oh, you lost a tooth. I don't want somebody. You can take away from the message that you have in life by something like it. If you can get it fixed, okay? But here's the deal about it. If you're going to have peace, you need to learn to accept who you are. You may not be Marilyn Monroe. You're probably not, and you ought to be thankful. She died of a barbiturates laying beside her bed at 30 years of age after having sold her self out to Playboy, and she wrote a note and left. It wasn't worth it. I can tell you this, girls, there's not a happy girl in the world who's following Hollywood and trying to be everything they say they are. And boys, I'm just telling you something. You just be happy with who you are and how God made you. And don't. Can I say something to you tonight? Here a while back, I ran across some boys who was wishing they was black. You know why? So they could play basketball. They said, well, if we was black, we could play basketball better. Can I tell you something? I'm proud to be white. I ain't ashamed to be white. I'm white. Amen. I'm from Missouri. I ain't ashamed of that. Amen. I'm from down the hills. I'm happy about it. Amen. I'm just, you know, why won't people just be, can I tell you something? The black boys want to be white. I mean, just get over it. You just are who you are. The best message that the black people in America could ever hear is accept who you are. That's the honest truth. If you'll follow that thing through, and I'm just telling you this, it's a deal accepting your design. Look, Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Now you say, Reggie, I want personal peace. I want peace in my mind. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on Oprah Winfrey. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Fox News. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. If you want peace, keep your mind close to God. Amen. Connect that with Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God literally this year has just comforted my soul, has helped me by that verse. To be carnally minded is death, Reggie, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And to be spiritually minded, you got to get in a book and walk with God and stay with God and be led of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. I mean, just walking with God. And if you'll have a spiritually minded, God says, I'll keep you in peace. So if you want to have peace in your mind, clear your conscience. Make sure your conscience is clear. Accept who you are. And then keep, you know, whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep your mind on good things. Don't just waller in the mud hole all the time. Philippians chapter 4, Bob's already read that, verses 7, 8, and 9. Here's the funny thing about that. Verse 7, it talks about the peace of path of understanding. And then number 8 talks about whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true and just, think on these things. The same idea is this. If you want peace in your mind, if you want peace of mind, you're going to have to stay close to God. You can't have your mind off on all kinds of other junk all the time. I mean, that's just that simple. I know this ain't profound preaching, but it's the truth. Amen. And so anyway, then let me give you another thing about peace. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 11. I want to read that verse to you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 11 says, if I can get there, it says, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If you want to have peace in your mind, learn to accept chastisement and don't get mad at God about it, or don't whine and murmur and complain about it. Take your whooping, wipe the snot off your nose, dry the tears out of your eyes, get up and go back out and live. Amen. Get out there and live again. God's going to chastise. If you be without chastisement, you're not sons of God. You're going to get chastisement. You know you're going to get chastisement. A lot of people, their peace is destroyed when they don't respond right to chastising. It is very important for us to respond right to chastisement. I want to tell you something. God loves us. He's got our best in mind. And thank God for chastisement. Amen. Well, anyway, there's another thing. Put down Mark chapter 4, verse number 39. Jesus there with the wind. He said, peace be still. know this, that God is in control. God can shut the wind down. God can give peace to your heart. He has the power to give peace. He is the God of peace, and we need to believe that He has the power to give you peace. John 14, verse number 27 says, "Peace I give unto you, not the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you." As I said this morning, Christ is our peace. John chapter 14, verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid," or and so forth. And we just need to understand. I want you to go to John chapter 16 and verse number 15. This is a very, very powerful verse. Luke, John chapter 16 and verse number 33. And as I said, I'm going to probably stumble through all this, but I just want it to be a time of feeding in the Word of God and helping us. Verse number 33, John 16, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In me, you might have peace. "In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Colossians 3:15. A guy come to me here a while back, asked me some advice about some stuff. I've taken hundreds and hundreds of people over the last 30 years to this verse. "Reggie, what should I do about this situation? Here's what I'm up against." You know, and I listen to it. I don't know nothing about the subject, don't know nothing about the business, don't know anything about really the situation, and he wants an answer. I send him to Colossians 3:15. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you're called." What's that mean? If you don't have peace about something, don't do it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Young people, you think about getting married? I'm going to tell you something. You say, "Well, Reggie, I'm nervous." Yeah, I would be too. All right. It's okay to be nervous, but there's a difference between being a little nervous and having the peace of God about it. You don't have the peace of God about it, don't do it. Amen. Okay. If you don't have the peace of God about it, don't do it. If there's troubling in your heart, you're something there. You're thinking about buying a new pickup truck. If you don't have the peace of God in your heart about it, don't do it. Let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God. God will give you peace about something. 40 years, all over the country, seen all kinds of scenarios and situations about auctions. You know what I tell people? If they call me up and they say, "Reggie, can you come out and look things over? We're thinking about having a sale." You know what I always tell them? Especially if I can sense that they don't have peace, because a lot of times they're trying to decide what to do and it's a big financial decision. You know what I tell them? "Go pray about this for about 3 days. And if you don't have peace about this, don't do it." I'm not saying that you won't be nervous. I'm not saying that you won't be, maybe a little tense about this. But if there's something in there that says, "Boy, you know what? I just can't go forward with this. I don't have peace about going forward with this." Don't do it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let that be the decision-making thing. Go to Romans chapter 14. We're talking about peace within ourselves, peace in the things that we're dealing with. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 7. The Bible said, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Listen, everything we're doing and everything other people are doing are affecting other people's peace. You know, decisions we're making, words that we say, decisions that we make, it's making effect on other people's lives. Chapter 15 and verse number 13, "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." You want to know, you know where peace comes from? How did Abraham get peace about his relationship with God? He said, "Lord, I want to know." He got peace with God through the Word of God, God's Word. You know how to get peace? Read the book. Let me tell you right now, you would not be able to count the mamas and the daddies who had peace about their children. You may not know where, but or sons who were in war and stuff like that, because they read the Word of God and they anchored onto the Word of God and reading God's Word. There's peace in believing. Now, I'm just going to tell you something right now. Okay, am I saved? Am I saved? Well, am I saved? Am I saved? How am I going to get peace about it? By believing. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." If there is peace in believing, you read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, receive it, believe it, believe it. God says, "I will give you peace about that." I see people all the time. They don't know whether they're saved or not. They're not sure. There's peace in believing. Can I tell you something? Listen, I've went down the road before. I would say probably 5 to 6 times since I've been saved and preaching, I went through a spiritual battle wondering if I was even, are you saved? Okay? Maybe you've never been there, but I've had fiery darts from hell come at me. It's like, well, you ain't even saved. You know what I always have to go back to? How did I get peace about that? I go back to the book. Peace in believing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Either God's lying or God's telling the truth. Either I believe his word or I don't believe his word. You can wrestle with assurance all you want to, but until you believe the word of God about you, you ain't going to have peace about it. You just, there's peace in believing. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. There's peace in believing. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's peace in believing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's peace in believing. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I'll help thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand. There's peace in believing. There's peace in believing. You're worried about things. There's peace in believing. Okay, now, what about peace with others? Josh, somebody, what time is it? Because we ain't gonna get there. 20 to late. I'm just feeding flock tonight, and I ain't trying to. Somebody says, Reggie, you preach to 1 o'clock, not think nothing about it. Well, I guess I'm past them days. I don't know. I just don't. It's just not in me anymore, especially to the flock. I don't know. I don't know what happens to you. I'm just a little different. But I want to talk tonight about peace in your marriage. Write down 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to be discreet, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's more fighting in marriages over physical relationships than you'd want to believe. 1 Corinthians 7. Peace in your marriage. I want to show you something right now. Satan is a destroyer of peace, right? Let me give you a little something about the Bible. When the name Satan, when God names Satan it by first name, S-A-T-A-N, in a verse, you better perk up your ears. You better perk up your ears and understand there's something there. God really, this is where intense spiritual warfare will be at. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need peace in our marriages. One of the first places that you need to learn to get peace is in physical relationships and marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 2, it said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have his own husband. Okay, now here you are married. Now, verse number 3, you're in a marriage. Let the husband render unto the wife what? Do benevolence. Likewise also the wife unto the husband. What? Do benevolence. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and the likewise the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud not one, ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time. And that's a study. The word time is a very fascinating study in the Bible. It has to do with the number 7. Okay? That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan, there it is, right in the middle of your marriage, right in the middle of the issue of physical relationships, you've got a spiritual attack from the devil and your marriage. Now, he said, tempt you for your incontinency. Incontinency means self-control. That your natural urges and desires are just, you feel like they've got to be met. Now, you can duck your head down if you want to, but it might save your marriage tonight. No man, no woman married has a right to withhold themselves from their spouse in this area. And you're to render due benevolence. In other words, you may not, be inclined that way at the present, but they are. They may not, but you are. You are to render due benevolence. And let me tell you something, that there's a reason 32 million people are on some stupid adulterous website. Okay? And I'm just saying this to you. You're not going to, and if you don't, you're not going to have peace in your marriage. Now, this is serious stuff, and I know I'm not probably the best one in the world to preach on it, but I'm saying this to you. You better get this one down. It'll cause trouble in your marriage. Bad trouble. And so anyway, that's one of them. Marital deal is make sure that you're in your marital debt. Now, another one is this. A husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. There has to be authority structure in the home. That doesn't mean the wife's less important or anything like that, but you got to get that lined up. There is an authority structure in home. If you don't get that lined up, how's there going to be peace? If somebody came in here tonight with two heads on it, what would you say I say, wow, that's pretty strange. Okay? There's got to be one head of the household. And I don't care if you don't like that. You go, then you go tinker around with Gloria Steinem if you want to. And if you don't know who she is, you're better off. But I'm going to tell you right now, there needs to be authority structure in the home. Somebody's got to call the shot. Somebody's got to make the decision and take the responsibility for making the decision. And I want to tell you something. One of the best prayers that us men could do for our wives, dear God, precious Heavenly Father, increase my wife's faith, for she has to trust my stupidity. How many of you ever remember the message I preached, why God allows, you know, smart women to be married to stupid men? By the way, there's a design in that. Trust your faith, ladies. I'll tell you, I admire. I mean, like my wife, I look back now at our life and I wonder why she didn't leave me or throw up her hands and throw rocks through the window saying, what are you doing? But I'm going to tell you something. If you want peace in your home, you wives be submissive. If you want peace in your home, you men lead with loving kindness and gentleness. It would be a good idea, fellas, if we'd try to explain to them what we're doing. It's not a good idea to go buy stuff and not discuss it either. Peace in the house. Amen? I'm going to tell you something I've seen. I've seen some wild deals. I'll tell you what. You know what's sickening is to be 65 years for me to go to a 65 and 7-year-old couple and him sitting there saying, she went and charged $22,000 on the credit card and didn't say a word to me. That's not much peace in that home. Amen? Peace in marriage. You know, there just needs to be peace in marriage. And there's just all kinds of stuff. And I don't want to get off on that tonight. But these are just some little issues. Husband in authority. Loving his wife, leading his wife, being a servant to the family, providing for his family, stuff like that. You know, so now that leads to another thing, financial peace. I would say this, second to what I mentioned a while ago about physical relationships, finances is the second thing that causes lack of peace in your house. Did you know something tonight? There's a little saying Karen's got on a little deal, a jewelry deal or something there as you go out of her room. And what's that little saying? Does it, as long as we're together, everything else will fall in place. Are you listening to me? She got a little deal there, and it's very, very true. As long as we're together, everything else will fall in place. And we need peace in our marriages. I'm going to tell you something. America may be falling apart. The country falling apart. Church fall apart. Business place fall apart. But you and your wife need to stay together. That needs to be a sacred sanctuary where there's some peace that you can go to. I'm going to tell you something right now. You couples need to be able to walk in your bedroom at night. And that place needs to be a wonderful place of peace and tranquility. Where you can lay your heads on your pillows, visit and talk, pray together, talk about the grandkids, go, whoo, glad they're gone. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. We love it. I'll tell you what, I didn't know grandkids had so much fun. I'd have had them first. Amen. You heard that one, ain't you? They're a blast. I mean, who wouldn't like, you know, I mean, you take over here. I mean, that is a blast. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I don't really want to get off on that because, man, I'm going to tell you what, I'm just saying this here. Listen, your home, your marriage ought to be a place of peace. And there, if your husband, well, I'm going to tell you something, ladies, listen, I can say this from personal experience. Your husband, if he's been out working all day long, putting up with everything in the world you can't have a clue about, and he comes in, you know what he needs? He needs an arm around his neck. He needs a big old smack on the mouth, and he needs a hug, and he needs to know he's loved, and you're glad to see him. Amen. Yeah, you betcha. I'll tell you, he comes home, you know, and you act like he's just a cat come in. And, what are you doing in the house? That ain't going to fly. We ain't going to get very far tonight. I can see that right now. But I'm just saying this to you. You know what? Listen, hey, what's the use of us preaching peace to the rest of the world if we ain't got peace in our own marriages? Amen. What's the use of doing that if we're fighting and cats? I mean, just cats and dogs and scratching and fighting and clawing and mad at each other and stuff like that. So I'm talking about peace in the marriage. And I would just say financial peace. Here's two or three things. Number one, I know it's hard to stay out of debt, okay? But I would just say this. The Bible says, be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll tell you, it's not much peace when you lay your head on your pillow and you have to turn over and say to your wife, I don't know how we're going to make the payment. Women do not take that kind of pressure very well. Men don't either. That's the truth. But women sure don't. I mean, I want to tell you something about me, okay? I've done a lot of business in my life, made a lot of stupid decisions, made a few good decisions, okay? But you know something I always kept in the back of my mind about my finances? That if I go broke and I get messed up bad financially and can't pay and can't satisfy my obligations, it will be hard on the name of Jesus Christ in this country. Reggie, pay your bills and don't blaspheme the name of your Savior. Now, I'm telling you something. Not you want to have peace in your home, it'd be better off not to have that boat or that old stupid RV. If it's stressing your marriage out. You know, you take one trip to the mountains in your RV and then you're fighting for 3 years over the payments. I've got one for sale. Anybody want to buy one? I'll tell you what, who was it went out there the other day to my farm and saw that thing? Who was it? Danny Friend came to fix my tractor. He saw my RV parked in my old commodity barn. This morning I walk into church, he said, I saw your RV. I said, yeah. He said, that is the ugliest thing I have ever seen in my life. He said, Reggie, it is pure ugly. But it's paid for. Paid for ugly is good ugly. Amen. If I'd bought a $150,000 when it looked beautiful as could be, and we were stressed out, I'm telling you, can you imagine me going to bed every night thinking, oh, how am I going to pay for this $100,000 RV? Now, if you can afford a $100,000 RV, I'm happy for you. I'll borrow it off of you. I'm tickled to death for you, okay? But I'm just saying finances can really mess things up. A lot of women just absolutely, their peace is totally destroyed. They're totally destroyed. They're tense. They're upset. They can't even cook, clean, or do nothing. For they know that they're on the edge financially all the time. So I'm saying this, physical relationships, keep them right. Do what, I don't have to preach on that. Just read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, do what it says, and you'll be fine. Okay? Your finances, be careful. Watch your debt. Watch your debt. Be careful. I'm going to tell you something, just watch it. What time is it? I'm feeling edgy, huh? 10 to 8. Well, I'm going to give you a formula tonight. Let's hit Romans. I'm going to give you one of my favorite verses. I'll praise God for Romans chapter 12, verse number 18. Verse number 17 says this, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse number 18, I love it, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. How many tonight has a neighbor it's hard to get along with? You both got one, right? You live right next to each other, okay. I'm going to tell you something. There's an old saying, good fences make good neighbors. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard to live at peace with everybody. I mean, if you don't get a cankered neighbor once or twice in your life, you'll be lucky. Okay? Or something. But as much, I thank God that it says as much as lieth in you, if it be possible. You know what it's saying? It's not always possible. There's just some people that you're just going to have to stay away from. You just don't do anything with them. Don't have no dealings with them. Just leave them. Smile, wave, be high. Howdy, good to see you. But don't. Let it go. Don't do no business with it. You're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. And as much, but I thank the Lord for that verse right there. And then, oh my goodness, Psalms 34, 14. Go to Psalms 34, 14. You know what bothers me a little bit? That's to hear some preacher say, man, I just have a hard time finding anything to preach. I'm like, I don't know what to do for you. No, this ain't right. Yeah, there you go. All right, here we go. Verse number 13, Psalms 34, verse number 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Pretty good way to keep some peace. Amen. That mouth will destroy peace. Look at verse number 14 connected with it. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. There's times when you need to seek peace and pursue peace. You need to go after it. You need to try to make peace with a situation. Listen, we're neighbors. Let's get along. Let's don't be fighting. Let's don't be fussing. We're family members. Let's don't be fighting. Let's don't be fussing. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to tell you something. I've had a hard time. Now, listen, let me tell you something. I'm just going to be honest about it. It's just truth. And if I didn't say it, you'd all say, Reggie, you're lying right there in the pulpit. I have a tendency. My flesh wants to argue with you. I have a tendency to think I got to have the last word. I have a tendency to get into verbal battle. It's not good. Yes. He said he saw a deal on the wall yesterday in a restaurant. Says never miss a good opportunity to shut up. You haven't practiced it, but it's a good saying. Amen. It's a good saying. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says here, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. It's talking about keeping God's commandments. Verse number 17 of that passage of scripture, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. That's talking about the Word of God, learning the ways of God, the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ. It says that it's ways of peace, okay? Proverbs 16, verse number 7. Proverbs 16 and verse number 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, this is a powerful verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a pretty good gauge. It's a pretty good gauge. I'll give this to you. Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. There's a formula here for having peace in your heart and with other people and with your life. First of all, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's humility, humbleness. You know what? An humble person is far more apt to have a peaceable life than a person who's proud. Only by pride cometh contention. So it's Matthew, just write down Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit means humble. It means broken. It means, you know, not high-minded. It means humility before the Lord, okay? An humble person is far more apt to have peace. So one of the things about personal peace and just peace in your own heart and your life and in the workplace and your family and stuff is humility. Just humility. And then it says, blessed are the those that mourn. What's that? Those who are willing to repent. Those who are willing to say, I'm sorry. Those who are willing to say, I was wrong. And then blessed are the meek. Those are the ones who are yielded their rights, who don't have to have their way about it all the time. How many here love to win an argument? You very seldom win if you win. Bless, you know. So I'm just saying this, that the Bible has the answer to this personal peace. Humility, repentance, meekness. And then it talks about they that hunger after righteousness. A person just wants right. God says if you'll thirst after righteousness, that'll bring. And here's where I'm headed to. All these things will bring. Blessed are the peacemakers. You will be a peacemaker. If, and you'll have peace in your life, if these things are in your life in advance, or working yourself to it. And then it said, blessed, watch this. And this is really powerful about having peace. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Be willing to forgive. I'm going to tell you the best thing to do is just forgive and let it go. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, forgiving people doesn't mean everything's all right. Forgiving people doesn't mean you're going to have fellowship with them. Be honest about it. Forgiving people doesn't mean everything's hunky-dory. Fact of it is, we're going to get into, I don't know when we'll do this, but when we get into false peace, this is why there's a lot of junk going on in Christian circles. There's a lot of false peace. Ain't right. It's just superficial, phony Christianity junk. That they think they're supposed to act this way because it's on the surface they act like, you know, oh, everything's fine. And it's not fine at all. They no more walk out the door and start talking the same old junk about you. It's hypocrisy. You know, watch out about that junk. Well, so then you have this blessed and merciful, and then that's when you have the peacemaking. So follow the Beatitudes there. I just feel like I'm rambling here and there and not getting where I want to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 14 again. Romans chapter 14. I want to get through this here marital, family, workplace deal and church. Romans chapter 14, and we've got probably five or six more scriptures, and we'll try to get you out of here. I'm telling you right now, somebody needs to open up an ice cream place. I've had withdrawals. Some people have dope problems. I have ice cream problems. I don't know why I said that. Crazy, I guess. I'm having withdrawals, I guess. Romans 14, verse number 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know what God's saying? Not having all this stuff and doing all this entertainment is not going to bring you peace. It's righteousness that's going to bring you peace. Going to Branson and Silver Dollar City, that may be fine, all that. But and you know something? We went to the mountains. You say, oh, if I could just get up in the mountains and get up in the mountains, I'd have peace. Well, it's pretty nice. It's okay. And it's nice to get away and all that. But that is not true peace. You can go down to the lake and you can go down to the river and you can go have a picnic and you can do these things. But I want to tell you something. If you can't have peace inside your house and peace inside your mind, you ain't got peace yet. And God is saying it's not meat and drink. It's not all this stuff you can do or stuff you can have that brings peace. It's righteousness inside that brings peace to a person. Okay, verse number 19. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Now, I want to tell you something right now. I need your prayer because I'm preaching up here tonight and I'm under conviction. Because Karen's real easy to live with. She's very, very peaceable. I'm just being honest about it. I'm not geared that way. That's just the truth. And you know what? As I get older, I mean, in my heart, I want to more and more. Last night, I literally told her, we was out riding a four-wheeler, going out checking on cattle and stuff like that. And about halfway through the week, I woke up at 4 o'clock one morning, had one of my famous stupid neck aches that goes up into my head, got up and studied, you know, and took some stuff like that, but it never did knock it. You know, and I just was in a sour mood all day, and I was in a sour mood all the next day, and I was just like that. You know what? What is that? I don't know how to describe it. You know, you're just like a little feist dog. Nothing makes you happy, and you're just kind of gripey. Huh? Chihuahua. Okay. I was being a little Chihuahua dog. And you know what I felt guilty about? So we're riding on the four-wheeler, and she's right by me, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, boy, how blessed I am, you know, and how good wife Karen's been. And it's like Lord says, well, then why don't you take her out to supper, Dodo? You know, if you really... So I took her out to supper, and I told her, I said, this is a peace offering for how sorry I've been this week. You know, what was I doing? I'm not trying to be nice, but, you know, I'm trying to pursue peace. I'm trying to say, hey, you know, and I told her. I said, I've been kind of a dog this week. Pursue peace. I'm not trying to make myself look good. I'm trying to illustrate that sometimes we just need to say, hey, you know what? I ain't been acting the way I ought to, and I want to pursue peace, and I want things to be better, and I'm kind of sorry. And she said, yeah, and I know you're kind of sorry. And she didn't say that. I lied. She didn't have to say anything. All I got to do is watch her face. She talks with expression. She's a good wife. Amen. I tell you what, I don't know anybody else would have put up with me. That's the honest truth. 1 Corinthians 7:15. Ain't none of you members it. Back when we was in the old auditorium, first year we had this church here, 1983, I think it was. Might be two or three, four or five of you remember. Ronnie Simpson come preached a meeting, preached a revival meeting. Third night or fourth night of the meeting, he preached on the hindrance of the Holman revival. And you ain't never heard nothing like it in your life. And it was preached out of Ephesians, and it was all for good. And I never will forget, I tell you, I mean, I was the pastor of the church, and I was feeling like crawling underneath. I was sitting up and crawling. I mean, he was preaching all the stuff nobody in this country had preached on. But let me go back to this thing about peace in your marriage. I'll tell you what, he really pulled the carpet up on that deal. And he said, I'll tell you something. He said, some of you women said, you run around with the same old house coat you've had for 30 years. You got curlers in your hair. He said, you wouldn't dare let your husband see you like that when you was wanting him to ask you to marry him. And said, now your breast's bad. You don't care. He said, you need to put about 40 pounds of lipstick up and get a caulking gun and put that makeup on and say, meet him at the door. Throw your leg around him. Say, where you been at all day long? I'm going to tell you. I don't know if we've got that message on tape. We taped it. It had it. But I guarantee you, it will rip the carpet off your front porch. I mean, I'm telling you right now. But it was true. And you can just feel it hitting home all over everywhere. You know. And but anyway, then he got into men going, ought to go out and buy your wife fancy, good, expensive gifts and all that stuff. But anyway. I'm going to tell you right, I'm going to say this again, and we're going to get out of here in a little bit. I'll tell you, if we can keep peace in our marriages, the rest of the world won't matter too much. We'll make it. We'll make it. We'll make it. And I want to encourage you on this thing about peace in your marriage. Well, going to that, I want to say 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 15, it said, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in this such cases, for God hath called us to peace. Now, I'm going to throw a verse or two at you. How many knows what God says about better to dwell in the corner of the rooftop than with a what? You ought to hear this message. I mean, I don't know why all of a sudden I'm thinking of this message. He preached on nagging. Nag, 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 nag. Then he told the guys, he said, if you'd treat her like a thoroughbred, she wouldn't turn out to be such an old nag. Huh? Amen, that's right. But I'm going to tell you right now, ain't no man wants to come home to a house where she's ying, 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 ying. That's sickening. And God says twice in the Word of God, man rather be in the wilderness and somewhere on top of the house and put up that nonsense. I've been around the block once or twice. You talk bad about me, bad about your husband to me, and I figure I ain't heard the fifth of it. Amen? You say, well, you don't know what you don't know. You know, maybe I do know a little more than you might think I do. You don't know. I'll tell you something. Listen, ain't nobody perfect. I tell you, I hate to say this, but that's the only thing in the world I'd believe in divorce for is a nagging woman. And I don't believe in divorce. Amen. I tell you, I couldn't take a nagging woman. It ain't no wonder the Bible says that. I've listened to women nag their husbands. You know, and you know how husbands get finally. But I blame husbands for it. Why don't you tell her to shut up? Amen. Why don't you tell her, shut your mouth. Before I But you got these women who've nagged their husband till he don't even know what to say. He just sits there. He's just numb. He don't even hear what she says anymore. Ronnie Simpson said most of them roost on the head of their bed, the headboard. You know, men get up and they'll say something like, well, you know, that bacon was burnt. Quit griping about it. You married her. If you're so concerned about it, why didn't you ask her to cook you some bacon before you got married and try it out before you ask her? Amen. Larry, it's time to go home. Getting close. Getting close. Everybody's going. Oh, my goodness.
When's this going to be on?
When's what?
When's this sermon going to be on tape?
About 5 minutes, I bet you. About 5 minutes after church, there'll be people lined up for it over here. Connie, make copies. Let's close out with a good one. Isaiah 32, verse number 17. Woo, mercy sakes alive. You knew what I was thinking about. Some ladies wonder why their husband likes to coon hunt till 2 o'clock in the morning. It's the only peace he gets is chasing the coon. 32:17. Here it is. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. That's what God wants you to have tonight. That's the effect of righteousness is peace. You don't be happy, you don't be peaceful, live righteously. let's stand. Boy, it got hot in here, didn't it? Mercy, six and five. Oh, my goodness. Brother Larry, would you dismiss us tonight?